In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this is Louisa and the Mediatrics of All Divine Life, Part 1, and the bottom of page 6. And it is Volume 16, 6624. And Jesus says, "My daughter Louisa, it seems you do not want to understand the one triune God who wants to enclose his will in you. Okay, must give you the grace and the capacity to contain this great gift of the divine will." So he says this to Louisa, but he's saying this to us as well. You do not want to understand that God has enclosed his divine will in Louisa. And we hear often people saying, oh, the divine will, the divine will, the divine will, but they don't have any love for Louisa. And Jesus says, you don't want to understand this. The triune God enclosed his holy divine will in Louisa. The triune God has given the great grace and the capacity to contain the divine will in Louisa. God has done this. And then he explains it. He says, did I not, God, not enclose, perhaps not enclose my whole being in the womb of my celestial Mama Mary? Did I perhaps enclose myself in part, leaving part of myself in heaven? He says, certainly not. And by enclosing myself in her womb, was Our Lady not the first one to take part in all the acts of her Creator, in all pains, identifying herself with me so as to omit nothing of what I, God, worked? Okay, so he says here, to bring about redemption, he used the Blessed Mother, and she was the first one to take part in all the acts of her God, in all the pains of God, identifying herself with God, and was to omit nothing of what God worked. So here we see that, you know, Jesus wants us to understand this important gift of redemption. The kingdom of redemption was first given to the Blessed Mother. And with her, within her, he says, everything began. So he says, was Our Lady not my starting point from which I, God, came out to give myself to other creatures? If I did this with my inseparable mother, in order to descend toward mankind and fulfill my redemption, can I, God, not do it with another creature, giving another creature the grace and the capacity to enclose my most holy divine will, making this creature, Louisa, share in all the acts that the divine will contains, in order to form its life, in order to come out from Louisa as from a second mother, to make me known and to fulfill the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven? So he says, Jesus is saying, this is another great mystery. You know, as Catholics, we have the Blessed Mother as our mother. We have shrines to her. We have statues. We have pictures. Thank God for the Blessed Mother. We thank God and we recognize that she is the second Eve. Our Lady is the second Adam. And brings in this bringing about a whole new beginning for mankind. So he says to her now and to us, do you not want then to be the point of origin of my divine will? Do we not want this? The point of origin is Louisa Picaretta. The point of origin of the most holy divine will is in Louisa Picaretta. And our God is saying this to us so that we can really be aware of who this little newborn is. She's not just another saint. She's not just a good person, a holy person, a saintly person. Jesus says, he says it very clearly. He says, don't you want to understand that God enclosed his holy divine will in Louisa? Louisa has the grace and the capacity to contain the divine will. And then he says, do you want to embrace Louisa as the point of origin of my divine will? So again, when we pray in the divine will, when we go to the divine will, when we plead with our God, what God is saying to us is that he wants us to really begin to recognize Luisa Picaretta. He wants us to see Luisa. He wants us to go to Luisa. He wants us to understand that without Luisa, there's no divine will. There's no sanctification of mankind. Without Luisa, we wouldn't know the divine will at all. She is the one that God is putting in front of us. So, I was just talking to someone the other day, and they said that they wanted to get an image of Our Lady to put outside their door, you know, to confront the evil that's coming. And I said, that's exactly what Father Bucci is saying. He says that the image of Luisa will prevent the evil one from attacking. And why? She is the one that possesses this gift. She's the first human since Adam to possess this gift. Our Lady possessed it as the Mother of God. Jesus possessed it as the Son of God. But the first human born of original sin, Luisa Picaretta, possesses this gift. And with this image of Luisa, we can be sure of being protected. It's going to be a glorious thing to witness, because what does Luisa possess? She possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. She is the newborn of the divine will. She is the firstborn of the divine will. God wants us to possess this as well. So we go to Luisa. So he says this in volume 18, 10, 21, 25. The work of Luisa in my divine will is like the silvery sound of a vibrant, shrill bell, which sounds so loudly as to call the attention of everyone. And it sounds again so sweetly that all recognize that at that sound, the operating of Luisa in my divine will, and everyone will receive the glory, the honor of a divine act. And then, having said this, he disappeared. Now, Jesus says in, I think it's volume 35, December 8th, 1937, he says, Luisa, you are the bell that I will ring continuously until everyone enters into the kingdom. So we want to make sure that, a lot of my images I put, not a lot, there's a few of Jesus holding a bell in his hand. Why? The bell is Luisa. And Jesus says very, very clearly that what he's going to do is he is going to make sure that everyone embraces this gift. And he's going to ring this bell, ring Luisa, as he says here. He says, the work of Luisa in my divine will is like a shrill bell. It's so loud, it's calling the attention of everyone. And that's basically what St. Padre Pio said. The world of the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. And it sounds and it sounds, it rings and it rings so sweetly that everyone will recognize at that sound the operation of Luisa. We're going to recognize Luisa. And everyone will then receive the glory and the honor of a divine act. And he says, and then when he disappears, you have to remember that what he says to Luisa, I want you to think about this. I want you to pray about this. I want you to be aware of this. I want you to think and meditate on this. So one of the things that we do is we have the bell. Now, the exorcism of the bells are very powerful. When you call upon the name of the Lord and ring an exorcise bell, the demons flee. You see this at Holy Mass when the priest rings the bell, or the altar boys ring the bell before the beginning of Mass, the ringing of the bell at the Sanctus, the ringing of the bell at the consecration. Every time it is rung, the demons flee farther and farther away, so that at the consecration, we can be secure with our God. We can be one with our God without any interference of the evil one. And it's the same thing for us when we have difficulties, is to have a little bell that we can ring And, you can have it in your car. You can have it near your phone. You can put a bell outside your door. You can get anything, any of these bells consecrated, so that when you ring them, the demons flee. Again, what a powerful gift God has given to his church. And so what does Jesus say? He says, the work of Louisa in my divine will is like a shrill bell, so loud it's calling the attention of everyone. So sweet that the sound of Louisa, the operating of Louisa in my most holy divine will, everyone will receive the glory. Everyone will receive the honor of a divine act that Louisa is doing. Do you see, we want to participate in this. I was talking to somebody the other day who was talking about doing their rounds. And I'm going to do my rounds. I'm going to, every time I look at a tree, I'm going to praise God and love God and glorify God. And I said, well, that's not doing the rounds. And praying in the rounds is Jesus, look in my looking. So that through your praise, your glory, your worship, your love, I will experience it as if I am doing it. But you, God, are doing it. And see, that's what the rounds are all about. The rounds are letting Jesus, who does the divine act, do the divine act in us. A human can't do a divine act. So what God is looking for when we pray the rounds is Jesus recognizing the leaves on the tree with his sight, with his ears, listening to the rustle of the leaves, with the smell of the leaves, with his nose, if he wanted to taste the leaves, to taste the touching the leaves with his touch. They use the five senses to experience the love of God, but we want Jesus to do it. Remember what Our Lady, the secret, she said to Louisa, the secret of living in the divine will is to live on the earth as if it's only you and Jesus. And when you do this, what are you really doing? Is it you and me, or is it we? What are we going to do now? Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. You don't want to do anything separate from God. So again, what's happening is we're recognizing that what Louisa has done, what Louisa is teaching us, we now can also participate in this divine act. God in us doing it. And remember what St. Louis de Montfort says, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's what we want. We want God to do this. We want God to reign. And the way this is done is by recognizing Louisa. Because Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam, the new Eve. She begins to call all mankind to come back to the womb of the Father, to come back to our origin. Volume 19, 6:26. Now, in order to form redemption, I, God, needed a virgin mother, Mary, conceived without the shadow of original sin, because having to take on human flesh, it was decorous for me, Triune God, the Son of God, the Eternal Word, not to take an infected blood to form my most holy humanity. Now just think about that. He wanted pure blood. He wanted Mary. He wanted, who had no sin in her, to be conceived. Because when we receive the Holy Eucharist, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus and Mary. It's blood of her blood, bone of her bone, flesh of her flesh. This is the most amazing thing when you say, do we have a relic of Louisa? And excuse me. Do we have a relic of the Blessed Mother? Yes, we do. When we receive Holy Communion, it's we are receiving Jesus and Mary. And that's the thing we had to remember. The two of them go together. And again, we as Catholics, we have a great love for the Blessed Mother. There are Christians who do not love the Blessed Mother. They don't want the Blessed Mother. Again, those are the four stages of the divine will. The Protestants are in a room with the windows closed, praising God and loving God and thanking God and having the Word of God, glorifying God, but they don't have the full deposit of faith. so the windows are closed. There's no sunlight in that room. The Catholics open up the windows. This is what the full deposit of faith is all about. We have the sacraments, the sacramentals. We have the Blessed Mother. We have the Vicar of Christ on earth. We have all that God gave to his church. The sunlight is coming in. The warmth is coming in. The breeze is coming in. We can smell the flowers. We can see the trees. We can see the mountains from within this room. Well, now with the Book of Heaven, Jesus is saying, I want you to go outside. I want you to participate in the garden. And that's where our rounds come in, where we adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God with his adoration, his praise, his glory, his love. It's not even ours. It's God's. To participate, because that's what Adam did when he was in paradise. To begin to embrace the I love yous of all of creation around us. And that's what's very important, that we begin to understand this great gift that God has given to his church is now to go outside. And then finally, after doing all your rounds for a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. When you've completed all your work, then you can let go of everything of the paradise, everything of earth, and enter into the sun. That's the final goal of what God is calling us, to participate in God, to be one with God. And this is what God is looking. He's looking for us to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. We've got a full lifetime of praising God, glorifying God with God's praise and glory and adoration in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and futures, as if everyone was praising God the way he originally wanted it. See, we're to repair and redo. And that's the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. Then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. So Jesus is saying he wants us to become aware of the divine nobility that he's calling to. So he says, I would not take infected blood. I would not take blood that was not pure, not perfect. My mother is the only one that had this blood so that my holy humanity could dwell there. Heaven was in the Blessed Mother. Paradise was in the Blessed Mother. So Jesus could dwell there. Now he says, in order to make my divine will known, so that the divine will might reign on earth as it is in heaven, I do not need to have a second mother according to the natural order, but rather I need a second mother according to the order of grace. So here Jesus is showing us that what's happening with Louisa is to fulfill what Our Lady, Our Lord and Our Lady did in redemption. It's to bring back to earth the kingdom of God, to bring back this paradise for all mankind. So he says, I need a second mother. He says, oh, in the order of grace, not in the order of nature. In fact, in order for my most holy divine will to reign, I, God, have no need of another humanity. But I, God, want to give such knowledge of the divine will, that drawn by its prodigies, by its beauty, by its sanctity, and by the immense goods that come to them, souls, creatures, may submit with all love to its dominion. So here, this is what God is saying for us. He says, I don't need to have another holy humanity. He says, but I need to give knowledge, these truths out, of the divine will that's found in the Book of Heaven. So that people would be drawn by its prodigies. Now, let's look at the command prayer. We're going to be praying. I mean, the devil, the evil one, is really causing a lot of trouble. He's causing trouble in the church. He's causing trouble in our nation. He's causing trouble in the world. He's causing trouble with each individual. Jesus is saying, my prodigies are going to dismiss those problems of the evil one. So we have to look at our life and in what way are the prodigies of the divine will happening in our lives? He says he's going to do this. So let's look at the command prayer, the command prayer that God has given us. Okay, it's very, very clear. And if you don't know what the command prayer is, go to, I think it's 2014, I think it's August 2014, how Jesus shows us that he is expecting us to command as Adam commanded. Going to live in the divine will. This is very, very important. So he says, by the divine prodigies, by the divine beauty, by the divine sanctity of the immense good that comes to souls by the knowledges of the divine will, souls will then submit all in love to its dominion. We haven't seen anything yet. You know, so what is the devil doing? He's trying to test us. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to discourage us. And we can see this, the things that are happening in the church and in the country and in the world. Our response is fiat. We're not going to get discouraged. We're not going to be overwhelmed. We're not going to surrender. We fight to the end. We are in the final battle. And we know God is going to win. So our trust, our confidence is in God, not in the tricks or the lies and, of the evil one. So again, these knowledges will bring prodigies, divine prodigies, unheard of prodigies, Jesus says. These knowledge will bring divine beauty, divine sanctity. It will bring this divine immense good for all of mankind. And what's going to happen, Jesus says, is by what we see happening around us, we're going to submit, we're going to surrender all love to its dominion. We want God to be in charge. We want God to reign. So again, if you haven't seen prodigies yet, it's you basically we haven't read enough. We have to read, we have to study, we have to put this into practice. These truths are very, very important, and we will begin to see unheard of prodigies, Jesus says, that will draw us to submitting ourselves to the will of God. And again, that's what he says. He says your human inadequacies are going to be dissolved. They're going to disappear. How? By the knowledges. By these truths. That's what God is waiting for. So volume 19:9-5, 19:26. Jesus says, Luisa was saying, now while I was in the nightmare of pain of Jesus' privation, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior, clasped me to his most holy sacred heart. He told me, my daughter Luisa, our daughter, the daughter of the celestial mother, the daughter of the angels, the daughter of the saints, the daughters of heavens, the daughter of the sun, the daughter of the stars, the daughter of the sea, and some, you, Luisa, are the daughter of everything, everyone. All are fathers to you. You are a daughter to all. Okay, this is, we have to see this from a divine perspective. When Adam was created, he was the son of, and you can just change the words here, he was the son of the angels, the saints, the son of the heavens, the son of the sun, the son of the stars, the son of the sea. Everything was created for him. And when he sinned, when he fell, Jesus came to earth, Mary came to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now they have a newborn. God is beginning again. Where Adam failed, he's beginning in a more powerful way than what God gave to Adam. He says, "Everything is father's to you. You are the daughter to everyone and everything, past, present, and future." Do you see why on her tomb it says, "Luisa Picaretta, daughter of the divine will"? You get a glimpse that this is not just being about good and holy and saintly. This is a title that Jesus gave to Luisa. And not only that, but the church gave to Luisa. The archbishop, the first archbishop, he put that right on her tomb. This is Luisa Picaretta, the daughter of the divine will. Now think about this. The divine will is everything. She is the daughter of the divine will. Again, so he says, see how vast is the paternity. How long is your daughtership? Instead of oppressing yourself, you should delight thinking that all are fathers to you, and you are a daughter to all. Only the one who lives in my divine will can have the right to such a vast paternity, to such a long daughtership, to be loved by everyone with a paternal love, because all recognize in Louisa their daughter. In fact, since created things are all invested with my most holy divine will, wherever the divine will reigns as triumph and dominating, they see in you, Louisa, the same divine will that reigns in them. Therefore, everything, everyone, holds you as the daughter of their wombs. There are so many bonds between you, Louisa, and them as to surpass in an infinite way the natural bonds that exist between a father and a son. Do you know who is not your father? Only those who do not let my holy divine will reign in them. And these have no right over you, nor do you have any duty toward them. They are like something that does not belong to you. So here, Louisa is showing us that if we're saying within the divine will, the daughter of the divine will is everything. We have images of her in our cars, in our homes, in our chapels. We have images of her all around. She is very important. Like I don't know how many times I've heard people who wear the Medal of Louisa. This is the older one of the 50th anniversary, 1997. That medal with her picture on it. Many, many people are attracted to Louisa. It's almost as if they feel that they have to know who this woman is. Who is she? You know, so many people have told me that. So when you wear the Medal of Louisa, you're helping people to become aware of their role to Louisa, their duty towards Louisa. Now, again, there will be some that will not want Louisa, but Jesus says, these are the ones that don't belong to you. See, God gives everyone a free will, and this free will is very, very, very important to Jesus and to us. So again, how many, and like people say to me, well, where can I get a picture? Well, go to the internet, type in Louisa Picaretta and find an image that you like. Well, what do I do with it? Well, you can put it on a little CD. You can put it on a thumb drive. You can go to, a store. What is it? Not Home Depot. What was that other place? Huh? Huh?
Staples.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. What was the one with the depot?
Kinko's.
Huh?
Kinko's.
Kinko's. What was the other one? Depot.
Home Depot.
No, not Depot. Staples, and what's the other one? Isn't there another one? Yeah, well, never mind. My mind's gone. So it's, and then take it there and make one. I think one of the first ones we did was we made a poster size of Louisa. Then we made a 10-foot picture of Louisa. Now, why? Why would you do that? What does Jesus say? He says, there are so many bonds between you and the children of the divine will to hold you as the daughter of their wombs. There are so many bonds to surpass in an infinite way the natural bonds between a father and a son. Louisa is so important that we have to take Jesus' word for this. And we have to make sure that we obey Jesus. He's saying those that don't want Louisa, they don't belong to Louisa. So we say we love the divine will, then prove it. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. You know, prove it. This picture of Louisa is so, so important. Now, there are some ugly pictures of Louisa that you don't want to mass produce. But there are some beautiful pictures of Louisa that you can print for yourself, for your family. But do you know what it means to possess such a vast paternity and such a long daughtership? It means to be a bond with the bonds of divine justice to all the riches, to all the glory, to all the honor, to all the privileges that such a vast paternity possesses. So, my daughter, as my daughter, your Jesus gives you all the goods of the redemption as gifts. Now, think of that. We're just talking about that as Catholics. We have all the full deposit of faith. We have all the sacraments and the sacramentals of the church. We have the dogma and doctrine of our faith. Jesus is saying, who possesses all of them is Louisa as gifts. Why? As our daughter, you, Louisa, are endowed with all the goods of the sacrosanct Trinity. He didn't say this to the saints. You, Louisa, are endowed with all the goods of the sacrosanct Trinity. No saint has ever, we've never heard of this before. We know Our Lady possesses this. But a human born of original sin, how can this be? Well, Jesus is trying to show us and convince us that this is much more beyond what the church is aware of at this point. And it doesn't mean, it's like divine mercy. You know, the church was never aware of divine mercy until St. Faustina. And divine mercy is so important to us now. And now he's saying about the same thing about divine justice. Louisa is endowed with all the goods of the sacrosanct Trinity and is daughter of the Sovereign Queen. Our Lady gives to you, Louisa, her sorrows. Our Lady gives to you, Louisa, her works. Our Lady gives to you, Louisa, her love and all of her maternal merits as gifts. As daughters of the angels and of the saints, they compete among themselves to give you, Louisa, all their goods. As daughter of the heavens, of the stars, of the sun, of the sea, of all created things, they feel honored to finally have their daughter to be able to give their inheritance. And my very divine will reigning in them with its endless light forms for you, Louisa, the deeds of all creation, and all feel the divine happiness, the divine joy of being able to give their inheritance. Because by being able to give, they no longer feel sterile, but fecund. And fecundity brings divine, this divine fecundity brings divine joy, divine company, divine harmony, divine glory, and the repetition of one's own very life. So we're seeing what God planned for Adam is now given to another human. And that's why if you haven't read the document on Adam and Louisa, you're going to be completely surprised of how important Louisa is. You're going to be completely surprised that God has begun again. And what he has given to Louisa, he wants to give to us. What God has given to Louisa, he's asking us to embrace this. This is not just to embrace it, but possess it. And so he's looking at us and he's saying, you know, I want you to understand this divine inheritance that I gave to Louisa is now yours if you wish. It's now yours if you desire. And our response is, yes, I want this. Then he says, go to Louisa. Learn about Louisa. Begin to understand how important Louisa is. And she's not just this old woman in bed. No, look at what Jesus says. Everything that has been created is in her hands. Not only that, but everything that's in the Blessed Trinity she has the good of what the Blessed Trinity possesses. She doesn't become God, but she is in God's image and likeness. See, this is the thing, you know, people. You know, the Protestants say we worship Mary. We don't worship the Blessed Mother. We thank God for her. We glorify God because of her. We honor Mary. Well, it's the same thing with Louisa. Louisa is not the Blessed Mother. But Louisa has now given all the gifts that Our Lady has. They're at her disposal. Why? She's the little daughter of the divine will. Everything in creation, all the saints, all the angels give her everything because she's living in the divine will. And God is saying that to us. The saints only did the will of God while they were on earth. But once they got to heaven, they were living in the divine will. So now they can give to Louisa everything that's theirs, because Louisa is the little daughter of the divine will. She possesses everything. So our God is asking us, are you beginning to understand how important Louisa Picaretta is? She's not St. Francis. She's not St. Clair. She's not St. Benedict. She's not St. Dominic. She's not St. Thomas Aquinas. She's not any of the saints. She is the little daughter of the divine will. And if you understand what the divine will is, it's to enter into the life of God, image and likeness of God. See, the through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now with this gift of the divine will, we enter into God's likeness. And that means to do what God does. How can that happen? It's very simple. Jesus breathed in my breathing. You take a breath, that's Jesus breathing. You're doing what God does. You see how important this is, that we begin to understand Louisa possesses it all. And if you want to pray the rounds, you go to Louisa. Louisa, teach me how to do this. You want to know the knowledges, the truths that are found in the divine will, you go to Louisa. Louisa, show me where these are. Explain this to me. Help me understand. I have a pea brain. Help me to understand this. And she will. You have to understand, all creation goes to Louisa. That's what Jesus said. All of creation was made for you, Louisa. And now you, Louisa, can give all mankind this gift. It has to come from a human. It was supposed to come from Adam, a human. But since he failed, and failed dramatically, failed and fell almost infinitely, it had to be redone by the Son of God and the Mother of God as the new Adam and the new Eve. So why? So a human can begin this thing over again. So what is, again, so what does Louisa do? She gives this gift to the Pope. He is the one with the keys to the kingdom. You need a man and a woman. He is the vicar of Christ on earth. Louisa is the little daughter of the divine will. You have to begin to understand that God's got great plans, and his great plans is found in the Holy Catholic Church. And as the church is hit hard, as the church shrinks, God is saying, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm sifting everyone like wheat. I'm getting rid of the chaff. And you have to understand, the road to hell is very narrow, and many travel it. The road to heaven is very narrow, and few find it. See, the chaff is going to be gone. God is going to end up with the wheat. The chaff is going to be burnt and destroyed. He has to do this with the church. He has to do this with our nation. He has to do this with the world. He has to do this individually with each and every one of us. And that's why Father Ripinger's book is so powerful. It's to begin go through your life with like a fine-tooth comb to get rid of anything that's not of God. So again, that's what God is doing with us. So this is very, very important. So he says this. How many fathers, how many mothers are unhappy even though they are rich because they have no offspring? In fact, sterility in itself brings isolation, bitterness, and a lack of any support of happiness. And if it may appear that they enjoy in the hearts, they have a thorn of sterility that embitters all their enjoyments. So, Louisa, your vast paternity which you possess, and your long daughtership is the cause of joy for all. I had a friend, a priest friend in Ireland. I said to him once, what is your favorite expression of Our Lady? And she says, cause of our joy. He says, that's the title I always use. She is the cause of our joy. What does Jesus say? He says, your vast paternity of which you possess, your long daughtership is a cause of joy for everyone. See, you look at the Blessed Mother. Yes, she is the cause of joy. That is her title. But as the little daughter of the divine will, this is Luisa's title as well, the cause of joy for all. But he says, and much more for my will, which bilocating reigns in you, constitutes you the daughter of all the things created by the divine will in such a way that everyone feels your support. Everyone feels the contentment of being able to give the goods that they possess back to God. See, it's we receive the breath in to breathe that divine breath back out. Jesus breathes in us his divine I love you. The Holy Spirit breathes the divine I love you in us. The Ruah of God, the breath of God. We breathe that out, that divine I love you, back to God. It's yours. We give back to you what is yours. And he says, because of who you are, Luisa, everyone is filled with joy. Bilocating this divine will in you, reigns in you. Bilocating, it constitutes you, Luisa, the daughter of all the things created by the divine will in such a way that everyone and everything feels your support and the contentment of being able to give the goods they possess. The waves flapping up against the shore, the sunrise and the sunset. Everything now has a reason to exist. It's to continue to be in the divine will, giving back to God what is God's. Because we humans are the ones that are supposed to embrace everything. We are the voice of all creation to praise God and to love God and to glorify God and worship God. With this divine I love you of God giving back, being given back to God. You see what Jesus is doing? He's showing us very, very clearly. Luisa, he says, everything is now able to give the goods they possess back to God. They give them to us. The food that we eat, we eat this food, and then we give a praise to God for it, because Jesus is eating in our eating. Jesus is breathing in our breathing. So we can give that divine I love you back to God because of what Jesus is doing in us. So Jesus says very clearly, therefore, your oppression is not justified in the midst of so many goods. It's not justified in the midst of so much happiness and of so much who protect you, who defend you and love you as their true daughter. Now think about this too. It's the same thing for us. There's no reason to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative. There's no reason for it. It's not justified. Everything that Jesus has given to Luisa is now being offered to us as true sons and daughters of the divine will. It's ours if we wish. So the closer we get to Luisa, see, to live in our nothingness, it's to let basically Luisa live in us. Why? Luisa possesses, she's so nothing that she possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Now, if you want to possess the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary without Luisa, you're never going to do it. See, Jesus has to look at us and he has to see the spiritual DNA of Luisa Picaretta in us, which is Jesus and Mary. That Jesus said, Luisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. He says, but God is reigning in there. The divine will. She possesses this divine will. And Jesus says to us, do you too want to possess this divine will, this divine will I gave to Luisa? And when we say, yes, Lord, then he says, where is Luisa in you? Do I see Luisa's I love you in you? Do I see Luisa's peace in you? Do I see Luisa's joy in you? Do I see Luisa's confidence in God in you? It's to share in divinity. It's to become that drop of water into that cup filled with wine that the priest every day puts in his chalice at Holy Mass. This is what God is waiting for. So, our oppression is not justified in the midst of so many goods, of so much happiness, of God who's protecting us with this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary found in Luisa. God's going to defend us. God loves us as their true child as well. See, but you see, God's offering this to us, and He wants to give it to us, but He waits. He waits for our response. He waits for our fiat. He waits for our yes. And until we can give that yes completely to God, we're waiting. He's waiting for us to do that. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.